Shrimad Bhagavatam. Third canto, chapter 15, text 32. Munaya Uchuhu.
Munaya Uchuhu.
Ko. Vam. Ihaitya.
Ihaitya.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
Parichaya Yoch Chais. Brahma Samhita melody? Janita? Thank you. Kovam mihaitya bhagavat para parichar yoyoch chais.
Kovam mihaitya bhagavat parichar yoyoch chais.
Tad daminam
Nivastatim
Visamaha
Svabhavaha
Tadam. The sages said, who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of him? Probably, these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The difference between the inhabitants of a Vaikuntha planet and those of a material planet is that in Vaikuntha all the residents engage in the service of the Lord himself and are equipped with all his good qualities. It has been analyzed by great personalities that when a conditioned soul is liberated and becomes a devotee, about 79% of all the good qualities of the Lord develop in his person. Therefore, in the Vaikuntha world, there is no question of enmity between the Lord and the residents. Here in this material world, the citizens may be inimical to the chief executives or head of state. But in Vaikuntha, there is no such mentality. One is not allowed to enter Vaikuntha unless he has completely developed the good qualities. The basic principle of goodness is to accept subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages, therefore, were surprised to see that the two doormen who checked them from entering the palace were not exactly like the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. It may be said that a doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not. But that is not relevant in this matter because no one is allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. No enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha Loka. The Kumaras concluded that the only reason for the doormans checking them was that the doormen themselves were impostors. Amagyan timarantasya gananjana shalakaya chakshush unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master, he forced my eyes open with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. The doormen, the doorkeepers, the porters, the guys who stand at the door, the security guards, are being brought into question here. Are they qualified? Who are they? It's always a bit suspect. Who are you going to meet when you enter into a place? The guardians of the entrance to hell. They're going to welcome you in, They're going to refuse you entry. They're going to beat you up. They're going to invite you to step aside and discuss something. It's not a very relishable job to have. Maya Devi has a similar job in that she is testing, observing the living entities, studying their mentality, assessing what's best for them, giving them what fits in tune with their swabhava, their mentality, feeding them as a representative of Krishna. If somebody wants to go to hell, then Krishna gives them the energy. He gives them the engine. He gives them mentality. Actually, it's said that to smile takes so many muscles. To frown requires about 47 muscle adjustments. It takes more energy. You have to be determined to be nasty. You have to be determined to go to hell. It's much easier just to become subordinate to the powers that be, to a higher force. But the determination to go to hell requires a lot of conviction, a lot of commitment, a lot of energy. So that energy comes from Krishna. He empowers us if we want to go to hell. If we want to forget him, he will help us to forget him. If we want to ignore his instructions, we can be possessed of a demoniac mentality. On the contrary, if we want to remember him, he also will empower us. He will also assist us. He will lead us. He will guide us through the words of our friends, anywhere we can get a good instruction. Chanakya Pandit says that a good lesson can be received from a low class person. Just like Srila Prabhupada was sick, had his heart attack in New York, and it was Sunday and no doctors were available. So the devotees called a doctor. He turned up. He was drunk. And he assessed Srila Prabhupada. He rendered his normal doctor's services, but in a drunken manner, he prescribed, "The old man, he's not getting enough exercise. He's sitting around too much. I recommend that he should walk." So Srila Prabhupada took his daily walks as a result of the good instruction which he'd received from that fool. So Krishna will send, Krishna will prompt, Krishna will entice, Krishna will encourage, Krishna will mollycoddle, Krishna will beat us around the head in order to get us to wake up and to hear his instruction, to hear his divine words. Krishna loves us more than we love him. Krishna is more determined to get us back home to him than we are determined ourselves. If we're fortunate enough to get into the Vaikuntha, it might be because our spiritual master has dragged us kicking and screaming by the seeker. Surrender. Do this. We might march up to the door, we might knock on the door, we might be allowed entrance. Who knows how we're going to get back home, back to Godhead. It is possible in this one life. Very rare, but it is possible. We were on Parikram of Govardhan Hill, and one big sannyasi he encouraged us. He said, on your parikram, take bath in each and every sacred place, because you never know which of those sacred places is going to unlock that nature of love of God. The example is given of Narottam. Narottam Das Thakur. The river starts with P. Padma. The river, Lord Chaitanya bathed in that river. And he deposited all of his love in that river. And he instructed the river that when my great devotee Narottam comes and bathes here, then you hand over this installment of love to him. And she said, how will I recognize this Narottam? And Lord Chaitanya told her, that when you feel ecstasy, when your waters overflow and expand beyond the banks, you'll know that's Narottam. So give him, deliver my message to him. So Narottam went there and he came back after that experience, changed person. This was Lord Chaitanya's method of spreading Krishna consciousness. He would have a kirtan. And within the kirtan, he'd be chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And he might embrace somebody. That person would also experience the same symptoms. They go back home to their village. They'd embrace somebody. And then it would expand like that. So getting the touch, or the shaktipat, of a genuine incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, a genuine representative, a genuine servant of the Lord, is one method of spreading Krishna consciousness. The sages here, the four Kumaras, they're considered empowered incarnations. Narada Muni, he's empowered with bhakti shakti. These sages, they are empowered with jnana shakti. They're great knowledgeable sages. They're the oldest of the sages. So they are empowered to travel, and they do travel. They do travel and they do appear. Later on in the Bhagavatam, they will appear before Maharaj Prithu and give him instructions. So sitting down with a sage and hearing their instructions, being attentive to their message, is another way that we have a chance to get back home, back to the spiritual world. The words of the spiritual master. Which one is it? My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. They're not ordinary words. They're not ordinary sounds. Many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples got one or no instructions from Srila Prabhupada. But they took those instructions as their life and soul. They dedicated themselves to an instruction. Chant Hare Krishna. Distribute books. The potency of the words of the spiritual master, the potency of the directions of the spiritual master, said that the spiritual master can give us a direction, he can give us an indication, he can bless us with some service. And along with the instruction, along with the direction, comes the potency to perform that service. Sometimes the service may seem impossible. To edit, to format, to print, to publish 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1 month? 2 months. 2 months. They were producing one book in 2 months. And Prabhupada gave that instruction. The head of the BBT came up beside Prabhupada. He heard the instruction. He calculated in his brain. He thought, okay, one book every 2 months. So Srila Prabhupada, I think we can increase the production rate up to one book every month. Prabhupada said, no. 17 volumes in 2 months. So Rameshwar, the head of the BBT, gasped, gagged, swallowed, said, Prabhupada, that's impossible. Prabhupada turned to him and looked him in the eyes and said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So he stepped back a little bit and he called aside his manager, Radha Balba, and they discussed. And then somehow or other they became overwhelmed with a sense of hope and inspiration. And they came back to Srila Prabhupada and they said, okay, we'll do it. And then they ran off and started their furious marathon to bend time, to manipulate the material energy, to just adjust things in such a way, anyway, in order to fulfill that order of their spiritual master. And when you read about it, when you hear about it, Devamrita Maharaj, he was there. So he's one of the last remaining persons who experienced that phenomenon. You can read about it. You can hear from him. Some of the extraordinary experiences the devotees had. Some of the artists were working on the easel 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And they'd nod off in front of the easel. So the managers would come and take the painting and put it on another artist's easel who was still awake and get them to do some things, to touch it up. And then they'd come back in front of them and the artist would wake up, either get angry or think, okay, Krishna's done something, and they'd continue with their work. They'd get inspired. They wouldn't sleep for 18 hours. They'd just work. And the managers, they were sleeping in the press, in the production place. Everybody was just sacrificing to the max. And they pleased their spiritual master. They got his mercy. Sometimes Prabhupada, he would give his blessings, and he could intensify his blessings 1,000 times over. He said, the blessings of my spiritual master. They got the blessings of the spiritual master. The potency of the words, the mercy of the spiritual master is a very, very rare substance. So we have the opportunity, I believe the marathon's coming up. We have the opportunity, it's being presented straight in front of us. We've got the opportunity to get the blessings of the spiritual master. We have the opportunity to participate in an extraordinary event. The marathon of its own takes on another dimension if you enter into it. It's like Rath Yatra. Rath Yatra here in Melbourne, first time. They got the cart ready, the engineers, they satisfied everybody. They got the cart almost to the site and the wheel fell off. So to do another 24-hour marathon to repair the wheel, to put it back on, so they could have the procession. So everybody was sweating, everybody was working, everybody was crying, screaming, in agony. But they didn't stop doing their service, and the result was that the spiritual master was pleased. Srila Prabhupada was very happy. The residents of Melbourne got the blessings of the Supreme Personality of God, and the devotees got so much upliftment, so much excitement. It's an extraordinary phenomenon that takes on a life of its own. You don't even know what you're conjuring up. You just say, okay, there's a marathon, let's go, let's do it. And if you continue to the end, the results are extraordinary. Remember my first marathon here in Melbourne. I was feeling the pressure, feeling the pain. I was out in the countryside somewhere, hadn't seen a devotee for a couple of days, no prasadam. And I just said, okay, enough's enough. I've got to eat something. So we got some sweetened condensed milk and something like that, and chugged down a whole can and fell asleep for half a day. We got back to the temple and realized we'd missed out on the nectar. If we just waited a little bit longer, we cut short the process. We didn't fully participate. We didn't fully complete the marathon. So the next time, no way, we understood. We understood the blessings that were available and continued. One marathon, we're in the Bahamas, And I rang up and spoke to the temple president. I said, his name was Balaram Prabhu. I'm in Maya. He said, get back to work. That's all it took. A little word of inspiration. And then I think I rang up the next day and spoke to the Sankirtan leader. And he explained to me that you're coming in number two. And the person in front of you, that so that day had been very tough. We just continued walking down the road, and then the next door we knocked on, and the next door we knocked on, everybody started taking the blessings of the devotees. Sometimes before we go on the marathon, we talk to Sadbuj. He was the treasurer here. Now he's in charge of the TOVP. So we'd ask him, give us a quota. Give us a quota. Give us a calculation of what we're capable of. So he would give a figure and we'd meditate on that. And by the mystic potency of the words of the devotees and the desire of the Supreme Personality of God, then we'd get that quota. Somehow or other. By hook or by crook. So, the blessings of the spiritual master, the blessings of the devotees, the satisfaction and the happiness of the devotees are available by endeavouring strenuously above and beyond the call of duty to try and fulfil the orders of these personalities. Surrender, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. There's so much written about it. The six items of surrender. Sounds simple. Accept everything favourable for devotional service. Reject anything unfavourable for devotional service. They seem pretty straightforward. What about this? Can I use this in Krishna's service? What about that? No. Reject it. Then the other items, because it's not just as simple as that, because I remember my Sankirtan partner from here, his name was Puri, Puridas. Puri means there are sannyasis from the Shankaracharya Math. The Puri means one who's absorbed in the absolute truth. So Puri, like the Bhagavatam, he liked to preach, he liked to teach. And he described to me a couple of very, very profound truths. One was, we were on a rickshaw together in Vrindavan. In the early days in Melbourne, you were only allowed to go to the Holy Dharma after you'd been in the temple for 2 years. You needed to be properly trained. Because otherwise, if you went, you'd just be like a tourist. You need to be a little bit more grounded, a little bit more steeped in the philosophy, a little more expert. Somehow or other, I went after 1 year. The Sankirtan Jagya was my service, so there was a marathon before going. There was a marathon actually to get the ticket. I had to go and beg my father and my grandmother to help me, because I was only able to fulfill the quota that I had by working day and night. Then I had to get the ticket from my grandmother and grandfather. I saw my father and he said, he grilled me for 2 hours. Why do you want to go to the Dharma? What's in it for you? What's the value of it? He's a psychiatrist. I met him once on the street. I'd just gotten out of the car, said goodbye to my Sankirtan partner. I turned around. The first person I bumped into was my father. He said, son, come with me. He took me to his office, his car, and he said, son, give up this mindless activity. And I told him, Dad, you're a psychiatrist. You sometimes see a psychiatrist. You pay him big money to sit with you for an hour to help you with your process of self-realization. I'm engaged 24 hours a day in the process of self-realization. It doesn't cost anything. I'm getting good results. So anyway, he grilled me.
And eventually he decided, okay, this guy's determined, he's not going to give up easy. So he said, okay, I'll give you half and your grandmother will give you half. So on the day before we were supposed to buy the ticket, I rocked up at the temple about 9:30 in the morning. Here we go, put me on the plane. So then the Sankirtan leader immediately told me, okay, your service when you're there in the Dham is for the tape ministry. The tape ministry. You've got to record. I brought back about 33 cassettes, 60 hours worth of stuff. So it means I couldn't space out. Any time there was, I had to be there set up and to the microphone, the batteries and everything like that. The only class that I can remember was, I think, on the Parikram, Jayapatakamara, which was about to speak. So I was really keen. I was doing my job. I grabbed the microphone. I went up and I stuck the microphone almost in his mouth. And he looked at it. And he looked at it. And he thought, hang on, this is not the proper microphone. What's going on? He smiled. And he started to talk. He tolerated me. God his mercy. So normally we'd have to wait for 2 years before we could go to the Holy Dham. But by engaging in Sankirtan, by pleasing the devotees, and the devotees, sometimes I wasn't getting my quota, so the devotees would, you know, take some of their quota off and put it on mine. They'd help me in that way. They wanted me to go. So if you please the devotees, if you're happy working with the devotees, if you cooperate with the devotees, Srila Prabhupada, it was one of his last instructions. You will please me by how well you cooperate. It's very difficult. Very difficult to work with other people. The mentality. Here we've got two doorkeepers who are doing their job. And what you have to work out, what you have to determine, are these people eligible to get in? What should I do? Should I welcome them in? Should I greet them? Should I question them? So many things. They have to work out the mentality. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he relates the conversation that these two personalities were having. The doorkeepers were thinking, oh, these are just gyanis. These aren't devotees, they're not supposed to be. They're just gyanis, they're smart. One of my friends, he wasn't very good with slokas. He had quite a few slokas. He had very good mantras for book distribution. He'd come back after distributing books on the street, and he'd always tell you, oh, this new mantra really works well. Talk about mother cow, and, you know, higher taste, and all sorts of things. So one of his memorable sayings was, I think we were discussing slokas, we were talking about something, and he said, you may be a smarter brahmana. I'm a dumber brahmana. And I'm happy with that. So we don't have to have, so these two doorkeepers, they were looking at the four Kumaras, and they thought, these are just gyanis, these are just, and that was something that they were possessed of. They had great knowledge, but that was enough just to then tip them into performing an offensive action. Anybody who enters into Vaikuntha, it means because they're qualified. There's a couple of figures here, 100%, 79%. How do you get qualified? What is your qualification? You surrender to Krishna and these things automatically manifest, these qualities. So then the four Kumaras, some of the mentalities here, they're imposters. What are they doing here? And then they decide to curse them. But they also have to assess what's going to rectify their mentality. How are we going to help them? When a Vaishnava curses, it's a blessing. There's a couple of ways of getting the spiritual master's mercy. You can please him or you can displease him. It's said that you know you're doing something wrong, or you want to do something wrong, You can go and ask permission and get stopped, or sometimes encouraged, or you can go ahead and do it, and then after the fact, beg for forgiveness. So the sages they got caught up in a whole misunderstanding. It was Krishna's pastime. And then he came, Lord Vishnu came, and he said, "You're both right." So Krishna will test you to the limits, test your intelligence, test your discrimination to the limits, just like in the case of Ashwatthama, Arjuna, Bhima, Krishna, Draupadi. They're on a couple of different sides and they were pushing, prompting, kill him. Don't kill him. Kill him! Horrible person. No, he's a son of a brahmana. His intelligence was being tested to the maximum. So eventually he decided, Krishna's mercy, that he would just disfigure Ashwatthama, which was equivalent to killing a brahmana. Mahapap, kill a brahmana. Number two, blaspheme a brahmana. Mahapap, equivalent. So he achieved that result with his intelligence, satisfying both parties. And that gets back to the point of Puri's instruction. He said that surrender doesn't mean that you just lie on the floor and say, "Here I am, I'm yours, take me." Surrender doesn't mean you just become like a lump of jelly, malleable. Surrender means that you give your intelligence to Krishna, you adopt Krishna's words, the spiritual master's words, you take those words of intelligence as your intelligence, you're surrendered to them. Surrender means you adopt their intelligence, the words of the spiritual master. The words of the spiritual, the lotus feet of the spiritual master, the instructions of the spiritual master. That's your foodstuff. That's your substance. That's your goal in life, to surrender, to absorb, to adopt, to live those instructions. That's surrender. Surrender, you're doing your duty, you're doing your sadhana, you're following your orders. That's an element of surrender. That's the start of surrender. It helps to qualify you for actual surrender. But surrender means going above and beyond the call of duty. Somebody in the war, their job, their business is to go out and kill people. So killing people, they get paid for that. No problem. They get a reward. They'll be recognized as a hero if they do something above and beyond that. They go out and they rescue their friends. They're being shot at. They go and risk their own lives to save a friend. To put your life on the line. A real friend is somebody who's prepared to die for you. So this is surrender. This is what we're being asked to do. Krishna says, "Sava dhammam prityagya, mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sava papebhyo moksha shyami ma suchaha." Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. We have to prepare. It's not just, as I said, not just like a lump of jelly. Just throw yourself on the floor and here, take me. You have to nourish your intelligence. You have to program your intelligence. You have to practice using your intelligence. So a marathon gives you facility to do that. Should I go this way or should I go that way? Should I talk to this person or should I talk to this person? Should I continue? This person sounds like a Christian. They're wasting my time. Thank you very much. Pray for me. And go on to the next person. Or should I persist? Somebody who's a Christian already has a proclivity for examining the scriptures. So maybe if we can give them a little inspiration. Well, you should know your enemy. These Hare Krishnas, where they're not representing God. You should, if you want to defeat them, you should know your enemy. Know what they're talking about. Take this book. Something to inspire people to surrender, to sacrifice some of their time, energy, words, life, wealth for Krishna's service. So
At every moment, we have the choice. At every moment, we have the choice. Do we want to remember Krishna or do we want to forget him? Do we want to surrender to Krishna or do we want to surrender to Maya? Do we want to take advantage of the facilities we've got or do we want to just kick back for a while? Get some energy. What are we holding back for? What's the use of holding back? We might die in the next moment. At any moment. That used to be our motivation. If we don't engage this person in Krishna Christ, they're going to hell. It's okay, but also you have to be a little bit patient because they shouldn't be inspired by your provocation to hasten their trip to hell. So it's a science, it's a fine art, and if we can help each other, if we can associate nicely with the devotees, take advantage of their wisdom and their support, then as a unit, that's what Sankirtan means. It means everybody together, cooperatively glorifying Krishna. Then as a unit, then we can get the blessings of our spiritual master, and the result is that there's two results of getting the mercy of the spiritual master. One is that the regulative principles become easier to follow. And another one is a contrary aspect of the same thing, that we just become more naturally Krishna conscious. It's not something that we can try. The devotee just said something to me about, oh, you're in the mode of goodness. Like, I wish. I remember going to the Dham and getting a glimpse of what it was to be a little bit above the modes. We'd come back to Melbourne and we think, oh, yeah, that was what I wanted. It would last about half an hour. It's not easy to become established in spiritual existence. But that's what comes by pleasing the spiritual master. He blesses one. He uplifts us. And then after a while, those desires which we were hanging on to, which we were really concerned about, really important, we realize, well, they were fulfilled. Well, they disappeared. Krishna can fulfill our desires far better than we're capable of fulfilling them ourselves. So the advantages of getting the blessings of the spiritual master, Yasya Prashada Bhagavat Prashado, Yasya Prashada Nagati Katopi, they far outweigh the disadvantages of not getting the blessings. So, who's going out in the marathon? Do I need time? I heard your scores. Again, I didn't see the magic sign. There's a concept called weekend warriors. Is that applied here? No? It means on the weekend you go out. It means any spare time, any time. You take books with you to work. And you just, somebody I heard, one Maha big book. All the scores are significant. So you just take an endeavor, an effort to anywhere have books. If you don't have books available, how are you going to distribute them? So the first part, or the first preparation for the marathon, is to make sure you've got some ammunition. You can't go out in the war with an empty gun. It's foolish. So there is a war on, the war against Maya. Srila Prabhupada, he made a comment that his only criticism of his disciples was that they were not frightened enough of Maya. They were not frightened enough of Maya. And he used to cry. He used to see how people were fully in the embrace of Maya. So that's the war. The war is against ignorance. The war is against lack of Krishna consciousness. So we're all in that battle, all in that situation. So in a battle, you have to be properly armed. You have to be aware of the enemy. You have to know the strategic positions that the enemy has occupied. And you have to have a strategy how to survive. The first principle always is self-preservation. You don't go out and fight if you're not strong enough. If you're going to succumb to the enemy, then you stay at home, you read, you chant, you build up your strength.
And then when you're strong enough, you go out. If you can go out with a partner, it's very helpful. You have that support. So, does anybody have any questions? Any comments? Australia in 1974 was number one in the world for book distribution. 74-75. They were competing with the Ruddadumada Sankirtan Party, which had half a dozen buses scouring all over the states. But the Australians, the people who were resident in this land of Australia, they gave up all false ego. They just went out there and shook down all of their fellow Australians and distributed a lot of books. But unfortunately, they apparently saturated the market, so much so that the opposition was very formidable. The council rangers, they knew all the devotees by first name. Most of the devotees had $40,000 worth of fines against them. Even though some of the names were like Samsara, Devanala, like that. They'd come up to you and say, "Oh, Krishna Premi, what are you doing here? Here's another ticket. Get off the street." The devotees used to have their book bags chained up to a signpost, and they would distribute. So the council members would cut the chain, take the bags and take them back to the council depot. At one stage they invited you, come and get your books. They hadn't burnt them all. And there were rooms and rooms and rooms full of confiscated books. Prabhupada writes about the persecution, the opposition to the Sankirtan movement in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. He mentions specifically Melbourne. Korma went to jail. Didn't pay his fine, so they dragged him off to jail. There's pictures in the newspaper of 4 or 6 or 10, however many policemen it took to carry him, dragging him off to the police station. While he was in the police station, he vowed to fast as a protest. Korma fasting. So, it was all good publicity. And you see now, the opposition was so vehement. In the early days, these soundproof doors were necessary because the council were getting complaints from the next door neighbours. And they set up recording or detection devices in the area, microphones, so if they could hear the sound. They had a caravan parked in the back lane so they could detect. I think the temple got firebombed a couple of times. So there's so much opposition. Then, sometime in the past, but 14 years after that opposition, in contrast, because in 77 and 78, the tactics for book distribution was changed. Instead of going on the street and shaking people down, the devotees were collecting Lakshmi and buying books and distributing the books on the street without asking anything in return. We'd come back from travelling Sankirtan and we'd get 2 or 3 or 4 books and we'd go out for an hour. We'd stand on the corner of Burke and whatever street there, Elizabeth Street, and we'd just give out books, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that. Some of them would end up in the bin. Sometimes we'd go down to the beach, people on the beach, and we'd just go up and down the beach and give everybody a book. And then later we'd turn around, we'd see people sitting there reading the books. One book distribution effort like that was Moomba. Is Moomba still going on? So we wouldn't have Rathkarts, we'd have Bhakta and his team would make wonderful dioramas on wheels. The first one was Mahavishnu lying back. So that would be towed down the main street of Melbourne. 400,000 people would be lining, and so many, many millions of people would be watching. The Hare Krishnas from Crossways taking their exhibit down the street. And we'd have 10,000 bags of popcorn and show bags with incense and books and stuff like that. Massive distribution. I think that day we gave out 19,000 books. On that day. So the place was saturated with books. That evening there was a concert at the Maya Music Bowl. And I don't know how many people fit in there. I know the football stadium can hold 100,000+. So Maya Music Bowl, there's a lot of people there. So there's so many books around. The compere in between the acts, he tries to fill in, tries to speak, tries to keep people entertained. So somebody threw a book on the stage, Chant and Be Happy. So he picked up the book and he looked through it and he opened up the book and he was reading it to the audience. He said, it says here, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. Let's try it. So he got the whole audience to chant Hare Krishna. This was in 83, 84. So that we took as a symptom, as a measure of the success of the book distribution. So the methods changed. We changed. And then the publicity changed overnight. We started Food for Life. And the Hare Krishnas were seen, instead of being on the street and taking, we were seen as giving. So it changed public perception. They were saying Hare Krishnas are good people. My friend who talked about the smarter Brahmana, Dharmana Brahmana, we were distributing at the Quay, Circular Quay. We were there for an hour or so. In an hour, I had 5 very sweet exchanges with people. In an hour, he was harassed by nasty people which he'd stirred up. And the last time, the rangers came and got him, threw him in handcuffs and took him down to the police station. They discovered he had some misdemeanor against him. He ended up in court. And the judge looked at him and he said, Hare Krishnas are very good people. You are not a good representative of a Hare Krishna. Gave him a fine and sent him on his way. So the public perception, I remember being on a street, King's Cross, and overhearing a conversation. The devotees had been there distributing. I distributed, and the statement was, I don't know what I said to them, but they said, oh, actually they do have a sense of humour. Krishna, not stuffing it down your throat. They do have a sense of humour. So people, another person stopped in there, they took, and then they said to me, you got any halva? I had halva 20 years ago. I can still remember the taste. It really goes deep, Krishna consciousness. So, book distribution has changed. But still the effect and the principle of touching people's hearts, meeting them, and inspiring them to take books. And then beyond that, we've got the backup, the Bhakti Shastri, the class like that, to inspire them to read the books, to understand the books. Srila Prabhupada said, the books are just not for you to distribute, they're for you to read, you have to understand. Because people now, they're more educated, they're more learned. You meet people on the street, they're talking about the 4 sampradayas. They go to college, they learn so much, it's in vogue. So you have to have the ammunition again to satisfy them, so you don't walk away looking like a fool. So we have to be more expertly equipped. You know, the SWAT teams, they've got support from the satellites and things like that. You've got a lot of support here. But still, the tip of the weapon, the people out on the battlefield, they're very important. They've got the big support behind. That helps to drive the shaft of the weapon in deeper. It's a cooperative effort. You have to appreciate the backup, appreciate the support, appreciate the facility that we've got. So nothing's changed. My spiritual master, he was
Indradumla Swami, he was always known as a kirtan man. He'd be out leading the kirtan. In Poland, we'd go on Harinam. It would be for 6 hours. He would take us along the beach. We wouldn't march in the solid sand on the edge. We'd march in the soft sand, trudging, forced march. Kavi Chandra Maharaj and Chandramouli Maharaj came with us, and they got to the other end and they were practically falling on the ground. So Guru Maharaj came up with them, all chirpy, because he's been doing it, you know, 2 months in a row every day. He said, what's wrong? Oh, I don't know, some madman was leading you up and down the beach on this forced march. But people do it, they're dedicated, they're committed to it. Now he's older, so it's not that he's leading every kirtan, but he goes on every Harinam. He's there with his camera. He's there. He's just giving inspiration. So we might change our modus operandi. My father, he got emphysema. And he told me, I asked him, how are you doing? He said, okay, I can still work as much as I used to work. It just takes me twice the time. So there's nothing that's got, there's no impediments for engaging in Krishna service. There's no material impediments for engaging in Krishna service. Just have to be smart. Don't work harder, work smarter. That's what we're looking for.
You mentioned that Ubrishusha is like waging war against Maya, fighting against Maya, and one has to be prepared.
Time. Get on the phone. Yeah.
So that someone may feel discouraged. You know, I'm not strong enough to go out yet. So I'll just better wait.
Now, Srila Prabhupada, he used to have a pandal program. And he'd be speaking elevated philosophy. And then he would demonstrate. He says in the famous verse or famous recording about anybody can chant Hare Krishna. He says even a dog can chant Hare Krishna. There's no impediments. You see, that's all mental. It's all superficial. So in Prabhupada's preaching pandal program, he would call little Sarasvati, 3-year-old girl, out onto the stage, and he would demonstrate. Just see, even this girl, she knows more than the Pope. She knows more than so many people. And he would say to her, Sarasvati, who is Krishna? Or who's God? Who is God? And she would say, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Demonstrating that it doesn't take much to understand and to be able to tell other people. Whatever you tell them, it's significant because they've got nothing. They've got nothing worthwhile in their lives. Shrama Evihi Kevalam. They don't know anything about who they are, where they're going, what is the goal of life. So you give them anything. You give them a morsel of prasadam. They'll remember that at the time of death and they're guaranteed a human birth. You give them anything. The opportunity is to open the door for you. You ask them for the time. You say, where's Gauranga? Can you give me direction? Anything. Trick them. Somehow or other, engaging in Krishna service. That campaign in Scotland, they had stickers everywhere. People were ringing up and it was on the radio. Who is Gauranga? Saturate the atmosphere. Just saturate the atmosphere. So saturated with all this nonsense, kami stuff. We've got to saturate it with the spiritual sound vibration. Somehow or other. And Krishna helps. In a very short time in the early days, Hare Krishna became a household word. Hare Krishnas are out on the street. I just heard a story. Prabhupada was arriving at the airport and it was early days. The biggest newspaper in New York has a distribution of 5 million per day. Prabhupada arrived and they did a centerfold. He was the centerfold. Pictures, pictures, pictures. Swami, how I love you, how I love you. That was the headline. They just used their thing to make it interesting to the readers. In Australia, we were distributing so many books, we were thinking of another way, a better way to distribute. So we put a
one of those little magazines in every single newspaper in Australia. So one morning people woke up and there was this Hare Krishna Today. You might have seen it. You know, 8-page, 12-page, 16-page glossy insert in the newspaper. So there was 10 television appearances. There was a little slip which people sent back. Yes, I'm interested. Please come and visit me. We distributed sets of Bhagavatams. Very revolutionary, but Krishna helps. We use mass media. We use whatever facilities are there in order to spread Krishna consciousness. Be ingenious. Prabhupada used to say about the Americans, what's the use of being American if you can't do something big? So what's the use of being a human being if you can't share Krishna consciousness with somebody? Otherwise, just an animal. All right. Good luck. Please bless me that I can have some input in the whole process. I can do my little bit to help the preaching. I want to be back in Australia. I haven't been here for 13 years. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.